Hello, and welcome to the Sunday broadcast for Sunday the 31st of May. Still locked down, so still not meeting in church, but we can still use this time to praise and appreciate God and to learn from different things from the Bible. So, continuing our series on the Wonder Women of Power, we're on our fourth woman now. We've talked about Rebecca, we've talked about Rahab, and we've learned some things from Abigail's story last week. So today we're going to be talking about Deborah, and her stories can be found in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. But before we do that, let's have a little quiz. Okay, so I am thinking of a room in the house. Okay, so for 5 points, this is a room where you can sit and chat. You can sit and chat in this room. Can you guess which one it is? For 4 points, you can put a television in this room. It would not be odd if there was a television in this room. Can you guess what room that could be? For 3 points, you can eat in this room. And for 4 points, this room can be made hot by an appliance that's in it. So what room could that be? And for 1 point only, because this is a very easy clue, you can cook food in this room. So what room do you think I was thinking of? If you guessed kitchen, then you're correct. So I hope you found that fun. It's just for fun, so no prizes. So in Judges chapter 4, we read about a time when the Israelites again had started doing things that were wrong in the sight of God, and they'd started doing evil. And one of their great leaders, called Ahab, he had just died, and he had helped people to be good and to listen to God's word and to follow his teachings. But now that he had died, the Israelites started doing evil again, and they started disobeying God and not listening to his not following the rules that he had set. So God sold them into the hand of a king called Jabin. And he had a commander called Sisera, who was in charge of his army. So the Israelites again called out to God because Jabin had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed and tormented the children of Israel for 20 years. So this was for a very long time. In my mind, I sort of think it took them a long time to start crying out to the Lord. But sometimes we do come to that point, don't we? But anyway, so Deborah was a prophetess who would give messages to the children of Israel about what God was saying and what they should be doing. And so she was somebody very close to God, and she was also a judge. And this was before the Israelites had kings over them, so the judges used to come and and make decisions. If there was any arguments, if there was anything that people were not sure of, they would go to the judge and they would decide who was right, who was wrong, and sort of arbitrate and sort of negotiate for people so that peace would continue. And Deborah was a judge. So she would sit and hear all the problems, and And now she sent word to Balak, and who was sort of one of the great men of that time. And she said that, look, God has said that he's going to use you to free Israel. So you're to go and take 10,000 men of war from two of the tribes of Israel, and God is going to help you to win over Sisera and free the children of Israel. So Balak said to Deborah, if you go with me into the battle, then I'll go. But if you don't go, I'm not going. And because it wasn't common for women to go to battle, it was normally the men that just went and did the fighting. Women often didn't go to battle. So Deborah said, yes, that's fine, I'll go with you. So, and she warns him, she says, if God has told me that although you're going to be the one who's very important and commanding the army, the glory of and the honor of this battle is not going to be to you. People will not say, oh yeah, Balak helped us to win this war. Because Sisera's life is actually in the hand of a woman. There's a woman who God has chosen who's going to kill Sisera. So you're not going to get like to do the most important job in this battle. And he says, that's fine. And then they go off. And things happen pretty much as Deborah has predicted. Balak and his army, they draw Sisera into a specific place. And when there was one guy called Heber who had separated himself from the rest of the Canaanites, and he pitched his tent, and he had a wife called Jael. Now Sisera and called all the chariots, and they were all going to fight, but for some reason Sisera decides to go aside from everyone else. And God made it so that Sisera was separated from the rest of the fighting. And he caused confusion to come in the army, and then he was separated. And Sisera got off his chariot and he ran away on foot. But Balak and all the chariots of and the whole army were chasing after him. So, and people thought that Sisera the whole army, all of Sisera's army were killed, and there was not a man left, because this is how God used to arrange these fights. Most of the time, everybody will be killed, and that's what happened. But Sisera was the only person left, and he ran away on foot. And Jael, Heber's wife, sort of said, oh, Sisera, I see you, I know you. Come into my tent and hide there. You'll be safe. Don't worry about anything. Don't have any fear. Come and hide in my tent. So he goes and says to her, I just need a little rest. So can I have something to drink? And she gives him some water to drink. And she covers him with a rug in her tent. And he says, stand at the door, and if any man comes to ask you if I'm here, tell them no. So she says, that's fine, because he's worried about the men of war. He thinks that, you know, it's going to be a man who's going to be coming and chasing after him to kill him. So that's all he's worried about. And then once he's asleep, Jael takes a tent peg. If you've been out camping before, you know that they're like long spikes, very long sometimes. And she takes that, and she takes a hammer, and she drives the tent peg through his temple and kills him. And then she rides out to where Barak is, and she calls him and she says, come, I know the guy that you're looking for, I know where he is. And he comes and he finds Sisera lying dead with the tent peg in his temple. And that's how God gave victory to the children of Israel. And that is, you know, the story of how God did that for them. So then we have Judges chapter 5. And in that, it's Deborah writing a song to thank God for the great thing he has done. And she basically goes through narrating through 31 verses. She narrates all the great things that God has done and how he has given them victory and brought them out from captivity, where they were being oppressed by Jabin, the king of Canaan. So some of the things that we can learn from this. Deborah was a really powerful prophetess. She knew exactly what was going to happen. And it wasn't something that she had just dreamt. It was what God had told her. She was somebody who was very close to God. She knew what he wanted to do, and she knew how he was going to do it. And wouldn't that be great if we could be like that? If we were that close to God now, that he would tell us the answer for the economy that people are worried about, for opening schools, for COVID-19. And God provides the answers. He gives people answers. When it was the time of Abraham, he said that, Abraham is my friend. I'm not going to do something and not tell him. And that would be so good if we were that close to God, that he would call us his friends and tell us the things that he's going to do, things that affect our families. It's so good and so important to be close to God and to listen to the messages that he gives us. And that's what Deborah did. She was a prophetess, and she used to spend time in God's presence and find out what was going to be happening and how it was going to happen. And then she would pass that message on to the children of Israel. And they're still prophets today. We might think that we get all of our information from the internet and television and different media streams, but God is still talking to his people today. If we just take the time to sit and listen, he will tell us what he's doing and why he's doing it. And he would give us the answer. The children of Israel were in captivity and they needed to be freed. And Deborah knew exactly the steps to take. And just like she does at the end of chapter 5, she writes it all down. Writing things down is so important. One, it helps you to put your thing, everything that's happened into order, but it also helps other people to see what God has done. Another lesson that we can learn from Deborah is that she was willing to go and do what God wanted her to do. This battle was not going to be won if Balak was not going to play his part. And Balak put a condition to it, and he said, I will go and do the things that you're telling me God wants me to do, but I will only do it if you come with me. And Deborah didn't hesitate. She said, yes, I will go. Because sometimes we do have to go and do things that are not common for us to do. Because normally women didn't go into battle. Women didn't have to go. It was always men and men of war, all armored up and all dressed up. But Deborah decided to go with Barak because she knew how important it was. And when there's something that needs to be done, and even though you might be stretching yourself out of your comfort zone, it's important to follow the lead and to do the things that need to be done. Sometimes we just have to be a bit uncomfortable and put ourselves somewhere different to accomplish things. So I hope that means something special, something important to someone. because sometimes we can't always have it our way. Deborah could have just sent people out to battle, and that would have been that. But when the condition was put in for her to do something that was not common for women to do, she was ready to do it. Another thing that we can learn from the story is that Balak was prepared. Deborah told Balak that you're not going to get the glory for this battle. The victory is actually going to be in the hand of a woman. And when I started reading this, I would have thought maybe that woman would have been Deborah. But God had actually chosen another woman to play a small part that meant a lot. This woman doesn't have a large part sort of mentioned about her, but she just suddenly comes out. Jael comes and kills Sisera, and it works out perfectly because he's the last man in this battle, and she plays her part, you know, really, really perfectly, so that Israel can have the victory. And sometimes there are times when we want to be known to have done something, and we want everyone to see, and we want the medals, and we want the acclaim, we want to be put on a pedestal, we want everyone to sort of say, oh yeah, this happened because of this person. But sometimes our part is not that sort of prestigious. Maybe we might just play a small part in something and know that that's going to work out well. I know different people have been playing a part in providing songs and music for the church service. And it's not to say, oh, they're doing it so that people see them or people hear them. They're just doing it to the best of their ability. And they, if they play their small part, then the whole thing comes together, and it's brilliant, it's beautiful, and it works out. If you think of the church newsletter that goes out every month, that is compiled by different people contributing different parts to it. And then that makes one whole big newsletter that blesses people. But it's made out of different components. So you should ask yourself where you fit in. God's got a story that he's writing right now in this day and in this time. What's your part in it? If your part is small or big, it doesn't matter. But make sure that you play your part. Even in having a good day, now that we are allowed to go out a little bit further and to gather, more people are allowed to gather together. Well, you have a part to play. If we were having a party, you would have a part to play. You would have a part maybe in attending and making sure that people are enjoying themselves and eating and drinking and dancing. You might have a small part in just attending and making up the numbers. Or you might have a big part like being the DJ or helping out with the food. But whatever part you're supposed to play, play to the best of your ability. Another thing that we can learn from this is once everything had happened, Deborah writes down a song of praise. And she writes it down because it's in her heart and it's bursting to come out. And she writes down a narration of the things that have happened. And she gives all the glory to God. She gives him the honor for the things that have happened. And we could do that. You could do that. You could look back at the last 10 weeks of lockdown. Think of the things that God has helped you to do, the things that you have come through. Because if someone had told us in January that we would have 10 weeks of actually just being at home and not going to school, we might have found that difficult to even understand or to think, how would that happen? But God has helped us through this difficult time. And although there have been challenges and there have been times when we've been sad, he has brought us through that. You could write a song, you could contribute to the newsletter that Bev produces by writing a poem, a story, or a song, and take playing your part as one of the church community, one of the church members, or somebody in church. You could write something that would contribute and be a blessing to other people. And it, by writing it down, it also puts it in the history books. It makes it so that it's exposed to more people, but also so that other people can learn from it. And if they were feeling discouraged, then they could read something you had written and be encouraged and think, well, if God did that for this person, they could do the same for me. And it could strengthen them at a time when they were feeling weak. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to reach out to the community. He wants us to be effective in other people's lives. Not just think about our own lives. We've had so much time during lockdown to learn different things and do things that we wouldn't normally do. Why don't you challenge yourself to try and write something for the newsletter? If you look in the newsletter, Farah has very kindly written a lot of, she's drawn pictures to illustrate different things that we've seen during lockdown. And they're really, really lovely pictures. Why don't you try and see what your part could be? So before we finish off, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for everybody listening to this. And I pray that you challenge them, that you speak to their hearts and tell them how they could reach out to the community, how they could make a difference. Help them, oh Lord God, during this lockdown time, not to be discouraged, but to look around, to look for how you speak to us and to look for messages from around us and in the Bible and in songs that we sing, so that they will hear from you. I pray, O Lord God, that you bless them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that's today's look at the story of Deborah, who gets two great chapters. Next week we'll be talking about our last woman of power, or Wonder Woman, who did great things in the Bible. And then I will tell you what we'll be discussing after that. I also just wanted to highlight to you, in terms of like a notice, that we're still having in-deep meetings every Thursday, and that is at 7 p.m. You have to let me know if you want to join in, because we're doing it with the Zoom platform. And for the next few weeks, we'll be just talking about current affairs. Last week, we looked at all the things that are happening with schools trying to reopen and the economy and the different things that the politicians are talking about. And we talked about what our Christian response should be. We also talked about stopping the NHS clap, whether people agreed with that or not. And it can just give you that other little discussion point where you can come and talk about some of these things, and we can share ideas about how God can help us during this time and what viewpoint we can take. And if anybody asks us that, oh, how would a Christian feel about stopping the NHS clap? We would actually have an answer that we've thought about. So I hope you will consider doing that and joining us for that discussion. It was very good last week, and I found it very enlightening. So do send an email or ask at the church office if you want to know about how to join into that. Right. Well, stay blessed, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.